don't need Twitter or Instagram or any of that to guide us. We need God's Word, don't we? And I'm so thankful for that tonight. Because we know everything on Facebook is true, right? God help us. Titus chapter 1. Tell you what, if you're physically able tonight, if you'll stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Titus chapter number 1. Let's begin in verse number 5 tonight, if we could. We read this verse this morning. The Bible says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." And I want to bring you a message tonight entitled, Restoring Order. Restoring Order. God help us once again tonight. Father, teach us. Father, sear and cement some things in our hearts tonight when it comes to Your Word, as the children just sang, as Andrew and Abigail just sang. Father, we need Your Word. And Father, we need to continue to just say what You have already said. And so, Father, I pray that once again tonight we would be reminded of that. Help us, Lord. Be with those that are away from us tonight. Some are sick, some are traveling, and some are away for other reasons. We just pray that You'd watch over them in a special way. And just be with us tonight here in this auditorium. Teach us and remind us, charge us, convince us, encourage us, convict us, whatever the case would be tonight, whatever we need. Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would provide it to us tonight. And we'll thank You and praise You for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank You for standing. You may be seated. Because our message comes from the Almighty One, whose character is absolute, and because our commission is authoritative, we are to preach the precepts, then we have an appointed cause, as we saw this morning. And what was the cause for which Paul left Titus in Crete? It was to set in order those things which were wanting in the church. And we listed several areas in which Titus was to set things in order. But tonight, as we've been speaking the past couple of weeks, I'd like to submit to us that we must restore order when it comes to our message. Whether it is the message of salvation or any other doctrine in the Scriptures, our doctrine and our message must be constantly sharpened so that it will be sound. The word sound, as we mentioned this morning, means free from injury, it means free from disease, it means free from flaw or defect. It means healthy, it means solid, it means stable, it means free from error, it means legally valid, it means whole. That's what the word sound means. And God desires for our message, He desires for our doctrine, He desires for what we believe to be sound. Because here's the truth tonight, He wants us to be healthy, spiritually speaking. He wants us to be stable. He wants us to be whole, spiritually. We speak, as we mentioned this morning, we speak of houses being sound in their foundations. We kick the tires of a vehicle as if to test its soundness. But the message coming from many American churches and many American Christians is shaky at best and very dangerous. The social gospel has replaced the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Tolerance has replaced truth. Recognition has replaced responsibility. Feelings have replaced faith. Performance has replaced power. And not offending man, as we saw said this morning, has become more vital than not offending God. So what is the answer? The answer is very simply, we must be vigilant in restoring order when it comes to our message. We must continue to say that which God has already said. That's how we restore order. And by the way, I'm not specifically talking about our church tonight, but I could be speaking to a mom and a dad tonight who need to restore order in their message in their home. I could be speaking to a Sunday school teacher tonight who needs to restore order in what they teach in their classroom. I don't believe that's the case at all. But I could be speaking to that tonight. I could be speaking to a dad tonight who needs to restore order when it comes to the message that he is presenting to his children. And so I'm not necessarily speaking to us about the message of salvation. I don't think we're in error when it comes to that. I think many churches are. But tonight, just as we saw Wednesday night and just as we saw this morning, I want us to see why this is so vital. Why is this so vital? Why is it that we be sharpened in our message? Why is it that we be sound in our doctrine? Wednesday night we said it's important, it's vital, because churches need to be guarded from false teaching. We said churches need to be guided by foundational truth. This morning we said it's vital, and not necessarily vital. This morning we gave really the reason why we can continue to say what God has said, because we saw that He cannot lie. We saw His absolute criteria. We saw His absolute character, His authoritative commission. And then because of that, we have an appointed cause. And that's where we began tonight in verse number 5. And I want to continue with that thought tonight as we look at this matter of restoring order. Why is it important that our message be sharpened, that our doctrine be sound? Let me give you number 1 tonight. And I want us to drop down. We'll come back to verses 6 through 9 tonight. But I want us to drop down to verse number 10. Verse 5, he says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city." We saw this morning that word ordain, it just means to set apart. And he's specifically talking about elders and pastors and bishops in these churches in Crete. But we saw the application this morning. When we sharpen our message, we are setting apart another generation. We'll speak about that even again tonight. And then verses 6 through 9, he speaks about the pastor and the qualifications. But I want us to look at verse number 10 as we look at our first truth tonight. Notice verse 10, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision." Now, who would the circumcision be? Who's he speaking of there? The Jews. He's speaking of the Jews. He's speaking of those who we would call them Judaizers in the New Testament, because they are using their Jewish rituals, their circumcision, their law, they're adding that to works, to salvation. And they're saying that, yes, Jesus Christ, we believe in Jesus Christ, but He's not enough for salvation. We have to keep the law and we must be circumcised. And he says, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, 'The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies.' This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth." Restoring order tonight. We must restore order, number 1, tonight, because there are men who are subversive. We have trouble with this tonight because we look at individuals and we look at how polished they are, and we may see some of them on TV. We may even sit in their churches sometimes. But we see many of them on TV and we see how polished they are, and they use some of the same terms that we use sometimes. And we think in our mind, there's no way that they're teaching false doctrine, when they absolutely are. And number 1 tonight, we must restore order in our message. We must say what God has said. Why? Because number 1 tonight, there are men who are subversive. That word subvert, it means to overthrow and destroy. And by the way, I believe there are men who come with that goal in mind, and then I believe there are some individuals who that necessarily may not be their goal, but because of the false teaching that they teach, that's what they're doing. They are subverting. And so, because there are men who are subversive, first of all tonight, their spirits are defiant. The Bible says in verse number 10, "For there are many unruly." Their spirits are defiant. Their speech is deceptive. Bible says there, "And vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision." Their spirits are defiant. Their speech is deceptive. And their scheme is destructive. It is to subvert. It is to overthrow. It is to destroy. They desire followers and converts for their own ambitious goals. However, the results lead to the destruction of entire families, the Bible says. Notice verse 11 again. "Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not," notice this, "for filthy lucre's sake." They have an ambition. They desire converts not for God's sake, but for their own sake, for their own pocketbook, for filthy lucre. That's what it's speaking about there, for filthy lucre's sake. So they can get rich, so that they can get rich off the backs of these converts by teaching them false doctrine. So number one tonight, we must restore order because there are men who are subversive. Their spirits are defiant, their speech is deceptive, and their scheme is destructive. You ought to be careful who you listen to. You ought to be careful whose books you buy. You ought to be careful. I'm not here tonight to hurt anybody's feelings whatsoever. But friend, if you have in your home books by Joyce Meyer, you ought to go home tonight and burn them. By the way, I'll say this, and this may get me in a little more trouble than that one. But if you have books in your home by Joel Osteen, you ought to go home and burn them. Filthy lucre's sake. Now he prides himself in the fact that he doesn't take a salary from his church because of his revenue from his books. And his books are filled with heresy. Oh, but Pastor, he talks about salvation. And his books are filled with heresy. When he talks about the I Am, and he refers to himself and to you and us about thinking about I Am, that's blasphemous. There is only one I Am, and that is God Almighty. When there are preachers who preach and say, "I am the Almighty God," that's heresy. And I'm not even going to mention that individual's name, because many of you probably don't know him, and I don't even want to mention his name. There's a preacher that is very popular today. He's very popular in the Elevation movement. And he preached a message where he said, "I am the Almighty God." That's heresy. That's blasphemy. But here's the thing. He'll say words and he'll use words and he'll use phrases just like we do. And people listen and think, "Man, he's good. He's energetic. Look at the crowd he has. No, look at the worship they have." Can I submit something? This isn't a message about music tonight, but the worship music in many of these churches is no different than pagan worship music. They are loud because they're trying to get their God to hear them. I don't have to be loud to get my God to hear me. But they feel like they have to. And so listen, we need to restore order because there are men who are subversive. Their spirits are defiant. Their speech is deceptive. And their scheme is destructive. The Bible says in verse number 11 that they subvert whole houses. And by the way, I believe that's not only speaking about homes. I believe that's speaking about houses of worship. Whole churches. Teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. number two tonight. Number one, we must restore order because there are men who are subversive. Number two tonight, we must restore order. And by the way, let me back up just a second, because there may be someone here tonight. You say, Pastor, why in the world should I, do I need to burn my Joyce Meyer books because she's a false teacher? She's a false teacher. She doesn't go by the Word of God. You say, well, Pastor, she opens the Bible and she teaches from the Word of God. But if she obeyed the very Word of God she says she proclaimed, she would not be a preacher. She would not be a preacher. But Pastor, it's 2021. I understand that. But what God has said is still true. God is not a liar. God cannot lie. And when He gives the qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 and here in Titus 1, and we'll see those in just a moment, when He gives the qualifications of the bishop and the elder and the pastor, different words for the same office, when He gives those qualifications, it's for a man. You say, Pastor, you just want to keep women down. You know, that's that misogynistic teaching that the Bible teaches. By the way, I had a lady tell me one time that the Apostle Paul was a misogynist. The definition for a misogynist is someone who hates women. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. That doesn't sound misogynistic. Because you can't love someone any greater than Christ loved us. And the Apostle Paul is telling men to love their wives like that. Doesn't sound like a misogynist to me. I had a lady tell me that one time. And I said, well, you haven't read all of Paul's epistles. Oh, I have. He's a misogynist. He hates women. And that's where we're at in the year 2021. You see, we need to restore order because there are men who are subversive. Number two tonight, and this goes right along with number one, we need to restore order because there are mouths that must be stopped. Because there are mouths that must be stopped. Verse 11 again. He says, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Verse 12, we already read, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Number one, because there are men who are subversive. Number two, because there are mouths that must be stopped. They need to be rebuked sharply, the Bible says. They need to be rebuked sharply. Would you take your Bibles and go to Galatians chapter 2? And I think we struggle with this sometimes because we live in the South and we're hospitable and we're kind to people. I don't say that to say people in other parts of the country aren't. I'm not. But regions of the country are different, aren't they? Yes, you go out west, the Pacific Northwest. I mentioned a couple. They're different. They just are. That's just the way they are. And in the South, you know, we smile at people. We're kind for the most part, and we're gracious to people. And so we struggle with this because we don't want to rebuke someone sharply. That's not our character. That's not our nature. Our nature is to be kind and hospitable. Southern charm, right? That's our nature to be that way. But when someone is going against God's Word, the Apostle Paul said, rebuke them sharply. Notice in Galatians chapter number 2, let's begin in verse number 11. Verse number 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. Two apostles. Apostle Paul and Apostle Peter. And Paul says, when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. That means we talked face to face and I withstood him based on what he was teaching. For before that, certain came from James. He did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, speaking of Jews, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. Notice this, insomuch that Barnabas, the son of consolation, the encourager, also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews. And what he's saying there is, look, if you as a Jew, you've been saved by the blood of Christ, you don't keep the law in order to be saved, you don't believe that circumcision saves you. So if you live like a Gentile, if you as a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Peter, why do you compel someone to do something that you don't even do and that you really don't even believe? Verse 15, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, because there are mouths that must be stopped. They need to be rebuked sharply. Look a little bit further, closer back to the book of Titus. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy 5, in the first part of the chapter, the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy how to treat an elder. He says in verse 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. He speaks about how to treat the elder women. He speaks to him about how to treat widows. But notice what he says in verse 20. He says, them that sin, rebuke before all. Verse 19, he says, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. And then he says, them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. They need to be rebuked sharply. If someone is teaching heresy, listen, friend, we're getting ready to go into the holiday season, and if we go to family get-togethers, and if you have a family member that is in your family spreading heresy, there in your family get-together, you say, Pastor, you ought not talk about religion or politics during a family get-together. I get that, but if you have a family member who brings it up, and they're telling other family members how to be saved their way, when in fact, that's going to send them to hell, we need to speak up. We need to speak up. They brought it up. We need to speak up. Because what they're telling them is going to damn them to hell. And Paul says, he says it to Timothy, he says it to Titus, he says they need to be rebuked sharply. Look at one other passage with me real quickly. The book of Jude, right before Revelation. Jude, verses 3 and 4. We must restore order because there are men who are subversive, because there are mouths that must be stopped. They need to be rebuked sharply. Jude, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. By the way, again, we've said this before, but that doesn't mean that salvation is common. That just means that the salvation that we preach, that many know the truth of it, and it is common to many people. He said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of verse 3, he says that we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He's talking about there, when he talks about the faith, he's talking about our body of doctrine that was once delivered to the saints. And dear friend, tonight, our body of doctrine, our faith, what we believe, has been delivered to us through this right here. And we are to earnestly contend for it. Well, I don't want to be contentious. I get that. I don't want to be contentious either. But I need to contend. I need to rebuke sharply when it's necessary. And we don't need to apologize for that. First of all, we need to rebuke sharply. They need to be rebuked sharply. Secondly, they need to be recognized specifically. And what I mean by that is they need to be called out for who they are. They need to be recognized specifically. Go back to Titus 1 again. Notice what he says in verse 12. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. You know what their own prophet said about them? He said, they are liars, they are lawless, and they're lazy. You know what he did? Called them out. Called them out for who they were. Called them out for the fact, hey, you're not in this for God's glory. You're not in this for anybody to get saved. You're in this for filthy lucre's sake. Because you're slow of belly anyway. You're lazy as they come. You don't care about these people. You don't want to pastor these people. You don't want to shepherd these people. All you want is the filthy lucre. Number one, we must restore order because there are men who are subversive, because there are mouths that must be stopped. They need to be rebuked sharply. They need to be recognized specifically, called out for who they are, what they are, what they do, what they teach. They need to be recognized specifically. And then thirdly, they need to be restored scripturally. Paul tells Titus all of this because he said, look, here's the truth. They need to be rebuked because we want them to be sound in the faith. Look what he says. Look in verse number 9. I know we didn't read it. Look back at verse 9. He says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And then look at verses 13 and 14 again. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. Look. Why? Why is he to rebuke them sharply? That they may be sound in the faith. Why is he to rebuke these who are trying to subvert and these who he says their mouths must be stopped? Because he wants them to know the truth. He wants them to be sound in their faith. When you hear something that is wrong, why do we need to correct that? So that somebody will be sound in the faith. That's okay. If you hear someone, by the way, we need to be very careful about this. You may be with a brother or sister in Christ, and you may hear them say something that you know that's not right. Now, they're not saying it because they're trying to subvert anybody. They're just saying it because they don't know any better. They're just saying it because they haven't been taught. They're just saying it because they're not sound in the faith yet. And so in that case, we need to be very gentle and very careful, but we need to say, oh, can I show you what the Bible says about that? Because that's not true. That's not what the Bible says. And here's why we should do that. Because we want them to be sound in the faith. I've given this example before. But I remember growing up, when I was little, even early in my teenage years, I remember we would listen to political debates during the presidential campaigns. And I remember many times, candidates on the Republican side, that my mom and dad were Republican, and so, you know, boy, we, you know, my mom and dad, yeah, you know, they're for the Republican. But I would hear Republican candidates say, I'm against abortion except in the case of rape and incest. And as a child, and my mom and dad never said anything about that. And I don't think they even probably thought about it. But in my mind as a child, I began to think that was okay. But the older I got, I thought, you know what? That's not okay. It's still murder. It's not okay. It's not that child's fault. And it's still not okay to take that child's life. And so sitting there watching those debates, time after time after time, in my mind, I began to think, well, that's okay. That makes sense. When my mom or dad should have said, now again, I don't think they were being neglectful. I just don't think they even thought about it. In their minds, they probably thought immediately, well, that's not right, but I'm still going to vote for the Republican because I definitely don't want to vote for that guy. But there should have been a caveat where my mom and dad said, whoa, wait a minute. I like this guy, and I'm probably going to vote for this guy, but I don't agree with that. That's what I'm talking about tonight. We need to constantly correct error. We need to constantly correct error. Now, by the way, there may be someone here tonight, you disagree with that. And you say, well, I think in the case of rape and incest, it's okay. But I submit to us again tonight, it's still a life. And it's not that child's fault. And who knows what God will do with that child. You say, but oh, that's going to be devastating for the lady. I understand the pain. I don't understand because I've never been in that situation. But it's just like we said this morning. If God has said it, God cannot lie. What God has said is right. And the taking of a human life like that is wrong. It's murder. And so anytime, that's just an illustration, anytime we hear error, especially with our children, we need to correct it immediately. There used to be a little cartoon that our kids watched, and the little opening song, and probably shouldn't have even let them watch it, I'm telling on myself here, but it was a cute cartoon, but the beginning of the song was just really humanistic. You know, exalt self. And we would always say when that came on, we would always make the caveat, no. And matter of fact, we would mute that part when it would come on many times. If it happened to come on and they happened to hear it, we would say, no, that's not right. We need to do that. Because we need to restore order. Because kids hear things, and if it's wrong and we don't correct it, they're not going to know the difference. And that's where mama and daddy know the Word of God, and they correct the error that their children hear from different avenues and different mediums. Because here's the truth, our children are so bombarded from different avenues and different mediums today. And there are mouths that must be stopped. And we want that individual to be restored scripturally. We want them to be sound in doctrine and faith. By the way, notice what it says in verse 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Here's the truth tonight. We have enough truth. We have enough of the Bible. We have the Bible. And we have enough truth to occupy our minds that we need not be taken with fables. We have enough of the Bible to study. We need to know what the Bible says. Let's go. We must restore order because there are men who are subversive. There are mouths that must be stopped. Listen, we don't need to apologize to the Mormons, as some liberal seminaries have done recently when it comes to the matter of the deity of Christ or that salvation is only in Christ. We don't need to apologize to the Hindus or the Buddhists for speaking against reincarnation, because the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. We don't need to apologize for that. We don't need to apologize to the charismatics for speaking against the heresy of tongues. We don't need to apologize to the contemporary churches for preaching against their perversion of grace. We don't need to apologize to the liberal churches today who ordain homosexuals and ordain transgender and ordain women to their pulpits. We don't need to apologize for preaching against that, because God cannot lie, and God has already spoken to it, and we just need to keep saying what God has said. And we need to restore order, because there are men who are subversive, because there are mouths that must be stopped. And thirdly, because our message must be sound. Because our message must be sound. Verse number 9 again. The Bible says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. We must restore order because there are men who are subversive. There are mouths that must be stopped. And number 3, because our message must be sound. We're to hold fast and we're to herald forth. We're to hold fast the Word of God, the faithful Word, as He said, and we're to herald it forth. Why does our message need to be sound? Two things real quickly and we're done. Our message must be sound so that we may charge the next generation. So that we may charge, that's what the word exhort means, in verse number 9 of Titus 1, that we may charge the next generation. That we may charge them with what the Word says, that we may charge them with God's Word, that we may teach them and that they know what God's Word says so that when they grow up, they can go out and they can say the same thing. Our message must be sound so that we may charge the next generation. And our message must be sound so that we may convince the gainsayers. Verse number 9, he says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Who are the gainsayers? That word gainsay, it means to deny and dispute. It means to contradict. The deniers and the disputers. Our message must be sound. It must be complete. It must be healthy. It must be whole. It must be, whole. It must be without defect. It must be without any error. So that we may charge the next generation. And so that we may convince the gainsayers. Hey, dear friend, God's Word still works. And it will forever work. Righteousness always wins. It's not always exalted. The Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation. We don't always exalt it in our nation, but righteousness will always win. Maybe sometimes it doesn't appear like it is, but in the end, it will always win. And that's why we just keep saying what God's Word has said. By the way, notice, and this isn't, I'm not going to spend any time here, but look what the Bible says in verses 6 through 9. Verse 5, he's speaking about ordaining elders. Verse 6, he says, if any be blameless, that doesn't mean perfect. That just means having a testimony that nothing can stick to. When the enemy comes and tries to throw things up against the wall against your testimony, it doesn't stick. It means, the idea there means that it doesn't have any handles. That your testimony is so right with God that the enemy can't grab a hold of anything when it comes to your testimony. By the way, that sounds like Daniel, doesn't it? When those presidents came and they wanted to try to trick Daniel and they wanted to try to get the king to be against Daniel, they said, we don't have anything unless it has to do with his God and his word. Because there weren't any handles to hold on to. That's what the idea of blameless is. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now, these are the qualifications for the men that he's talking about in verse 5. He said, Titus, when you ordain men, these are the men you ought to ordain. These are the type of men that you ought to ordain. But can I submit to us tonight that every single one of us tonight ought to be just as set apart as an ordained preacher? Young men tonight, God's plan for your life may be that He wants you to be a preacher. Maybe not. I don't know. But it may be that He might want you to be a preacher. He might want you to be a missionary. He might want you to be an evangelist. Why don't you just make a commitment tonight to say, I'm going to live such a life that's going to be blameless, and if God does call me, I'm going to be ready. Young ladies in here tonight, God may call you to be a pastor's wife. He may call you to be a Christian school teacher, or listen to this, He may call you just to be a Sunday school teacher in your church, which is just as important. Just as important. And why wouldn't you commit tonight to say, I'm going to live blameless. I'm going to be, I know God's not going to call me to be a preacher, but I'm going to live just as blameless as these men are to live in verses 6 through 9, so that when God calls me, nothing, I have no handles that the enemy can grab a hold of. I have nothing in my testimony that the enemy is going to be able to come and say, he's not qualified, she's not qualified. Blameless. Our message must be sound. And I submit to us tonight, our message will be nothing if our life is not right first. Our message will mean nothing to anybody if our life is rotten. If we are a reproach to the name of Christ. Restoring order. We must restore order because there are men who are subversive. Their spirits are defiant. Their speech is deceptive. And their scheme is destructive. That's what the word subvert means. It means to destroy. It means to overthrow. Because there are mouths that must be stopped. They need to be rebuked sharply. And they need to be recognized specifically. And they need to be restored scripturally. We need to correct error constantly. So that that individual can be sound in the faith. So that that individual can be sound in their doctrine, that that individual can be sound in their message. And we must restore order because our message must be sound, holding fast and heralding forth, so that we may charge the next generation, so that we may convince the gainsayers. You know what's going to convince the lost? It's God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's the Word of God. That's what's going to convince a lost world. It's not when we compromise so that they'll accept us. They don't need a watered-down imitation of who they already are. They need something different. And our world is giving them a watered-down imitation of who they already are. They need someone who is absolutely different based on the Word of God. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 is all about. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Restoring order. Listen, friend, tonight. I'm preaching to an auditorium full of people who I believe are sound in their message and sound in their doctrine. But let me ask us tonight, are we bold? Do we rebuke sharply? I'm not talking about being contentious tonight. I'm not talking about being obnoxious. Listen, there's plenty of those folks. But I'm going to tell you what, if there's error and heresy, we need to rebuke it sharply. If we see it, we need to rebuke it. In the name of Jesus, amen? We need to rebuke it. And God help us to restore order. This world needs people who will give them the truth. This world needs people like the Apostle Paul who went to another apostle and said, hey, Peter, why do you act differently when the Jews come? You don't act that way when they're not here. Why do you treat your Gentile brothers differently when your Jewish brothers are here? That ought not be, Peter. And Paul says he withstood him to the face. That's hard, isn't it? Because we live in West Tennessee. And we love that southern charm, don't we? But I'm going to tell you what, we ought not put up with that when there's heresy going on. And we ought not put up with that when there's false teaching going on. Restoring order. Father, thank you for the time. Father, thank you for your word. Father, help us tonight. Father, help us to restore order in our community. Father, help us to restore order in our places of work, our places of business. Help us to restore order in our schools. Lord, maybe some of us tonight even need to restore some order in our own lives and in our own homes. We've let our message get a little bit lax. We've started allowing things to come into our ear gate that we know are not true. Father, we need to start correcting those things. We don't need to let our kids think those things are true. We need to correct them. So, Father, help tonight. I pray that your Holy Spirit has worked. And, Father, if He has, Lord, I pray that we would move. And I pray that we would do business with you tonight. Lord, help us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed if you're physically able. Brother Chris is going to play. Listen, the invitation's already been given in the message. If there's something that we need to restore, maybe in our own lives, or listen, maybe just in our places of work, we haven't been as bold as maybe we should be. Maybe in the public square, maybe even in our schools, maybe with our family members, we haven't been as bold. We haven't been as bold as they are. Then maybe tonight we would just say, Lord, help me. Give me the boldness. Give me the courage. Give me the boldness of Titus. Give me the boldness of the Apostle Paul. Give me the compassion of the Apostle Paul. But Lord, give me the boldness. Give me the courage to set things right, to set things in order. Those things that are lacking, those things that are wanting, those things that are defective and destructive, Lord, help me to set those in order. Might be a dad in here tonight. You have allowed certain television programs to come into your home, and the things on those television programs promote things that are absolutely in opposition to God's Word. They promote adultery. They promote homosexuality. They promote a loose lifestyle. And just by your watching, you're telling your children that that is okay. Maybe tonight you'd say, Lord, I'm gonna restore order when it comes to that. I'm going to let my kids know that's not right. I'll let my kids know tonight that those are things that are wrong. They're against God's Word, and God cannot lie. And because He cannot lie, I'm just going to keep saying what God has already said. World behind me, the cross before me. Well, that's the way we ought to live our lives. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, the world is crucified to me and I to the world. That's the way we ought to live.